There's a Simon and Garfunkel song called Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. And I can't quote the lyrics. I probably should get them in my computer because I keep hearing them. But, you know, the song is Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. And then it paints a picture that while you were sleeping, things were growing. And I feel like what the Lord's saying to whoever it is or to all of us is like we've spent time in our lives where we weren't all in with God. And we may have been kind of living in sin or entertaining the ideas of the world or being more worldly than we are kingdom-minded. And I feel like what the Lord is saying is in that season when you were sleeping, He was still moving to bring growth in your life. And I think as a people of faith, we need to say, yeah, I made wrong decisions. Yeah, I wasted time. Yeah, I may have had consequences and setbacks. But the whole time I was in those situations, the Lord was moving on my behalf. And things in my life were growing. You guys receive that is okay. So I'm going to move on from that, but don't forget that. I wanted to just a quick announcement. August 16th, which is 3 Sundays from now, if you don't count today, we're going to do a family meal here after church. We'll do the family meal here after church. In the next couple of weeks, we'll start to make announcements about that. It'll be just slightly different, but it's going to give us that fellowship time. We want to re-implement that. Now, at the same time, we're supposed to be socially distancing. So I know a lot of us, I don't even need to include myself in that. Some people could care less about socially distancing, and that's fine. It is something we are meant to be kind of working on. One of the reasons that we're not fully integrating the community yet in this time, it's not just because we're working on our foundations, but it's also because people coming in already expect us to be masked up and far apart and not touching each other. And so we'll just kind of take that timetable as it goes. We're going to see in the near future some of that changing, hopefully externally, and that'll help us open up more. But anyway, so family meal is slightly different. We'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. The other thing is the offering is stationary in the back. So grateful for everyone that's giving. I have a testimony I want to share about the offering, about what God's doing among us. And then if you brought something to give, if you haven't already put it in, just hold it in your hand. We're going to pray after the testimony over the offering. And funny thing, you guys know, so I try not to focus on this, but we are carrying that little bit of debt. And so we had probably 2 weeks ago, somebody step up and they wrote a check. And I may have told you this before. This isn't the testimony, but they wrote a check for they put in an envelope a total of $2,000, and the bulk of that was to go towards the debt, okay, which is awesome. Somebody stepped up and did that, and there was some conversation of, should we run a matching kind of campaign? Should we say, hey, we'll get this $2,000 if we match it and encourage other people to give? And you know, Tiffany, she handles our books and balances all that budget somehow, and I'm grateful that I don't have to do that. And so that happened, and I had a discussion with Tiffany, and she was like, yeah, sure, you could do that if that's what, we could do that. And then I prayed about it, and I felt like it just was too much focus. I don't want to focus on that debt. So we gladly accepted the $2,000 donation. The person that gave it was like, yeah, that's cool, don't do the matching. But then, God wanted to do a matching plan, so He did it anyway. And so a funny thing happened. We moved out of the old building, and about 2 days later, my phone's lighting up while I'm working, and it's the landlord. And I'm like, I don't have to answer your call anymore. I let it go to voicemail, and I got this text message like, hey, please call me, it's urgent. So, I'm at work, and I call him up, and he's like, why didn't you shut off power? And I was like, I didn't know you wanted the power shut off. I assumed you would want to have power. Now, we had put the power in his name, a few days after we left, and I said, you can call up and shut it off. And he said, I can't because there's a balance. Now, we were current on our bill, but there's that little bit that we hadn't been billed for yet. And it was really funny because not a reflection of our character, but a reflection of other tenants' character. He was like, Pico told me I could just have it applied to Ted's personal bill. And I was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, I'll work it out with Ted. That's not a problem. We can give Ted the money to pay the bill. And he's like, no. And then so, we had Tiffany call up. She found out what the balance was. She paid it in full, and we were out. But a thing happened. Tiffany had like a Holy Spirit quickening, a remembrance, And it was funny, when we turned the power on at the old building, we made a $2,000 security deposit. Hmm. And so the check has already arrived. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's been deposited.
That's so awesome.
So mm-hmm. like the Lord was doing the matching. Now, had we not had the conflict with the landlord, mm-hmm. we may not have remembered that mm-hmm. that happened. I was unaware of it, and most of the people here were unaware that that had to happen back then. So,
wow.
You know, so now, what are we at, 6-something? Something like that. We'll get a better number next week.
I think a little under 6, actually.
Yeah, we're at a little under 6, and we're on, you know, if God's put it on your heart to help us eliminate that debt, that is awesome. We would love to do that, but we are now, no matter what, we're out of it by the end of the year. So it's something the church has carried like 12 years, mm-hmm. and it's great to have that end in sight. Thanks to everybody who's been selling into that. Mm-hmm. So if you brought something to give today, I think we as a people should have the expectation that as we're sowing, the Lord's moving in our finances as well. So just hold that in your hand. If you already put it in, you can pretend it's fine. So Father, we thank you that you're able to do abundantly more than we ask or imagine, that you continue to surprise us with your provision. We just ask, Lord, for greater wisdom of how to use the money that comes in. We ask for greater opportunity to use it to change the world, not just to pay rent and pay back loans. So Father, we thank you that you're moving on our behalf, that you would bless the seed we sow in a difficult season, and that we would be able to reap the harvest in any area of our life that we need. So we thank you, Lord, that you multiply instead of divide, that you bring addition and not subtraction. Mm-hmm. And we just pray that over the offering today, mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. So you don't have to do it now. Just don't forget to put it in on your way out. So we talked about the offering, we talked about the family meal. I'm going to review a little bit of last week. I know a lot of you were here. For those of you that weren't here, it's going to be hard to give you a snippet, so I need a little bit of grace. We talked last week about yeast. We talked about in Colossians 1:13, now there's a bootleg of last week's message. If you should want it, it's a bootleg, so it's got to be a little hush-hush, secretive. Ask around, make some new friends, you'll find out who has it, and they'll give it to you. Think of it like espionage game. My 10-year-old brothers, you know, we'll spy it. Somebody has a good life, and that person is giggling. So feel free to go with that. But Colossians 1:13, we offended Dave, he's leaving. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son." It's really important as we talk about today that you realize Jesus came, he took you out of the kingdom of, or God sent Jesus to come, you came out of the kingdom of darkness, you transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, you guys know I work at the post office, I used to work in Lansdale, I transferred to Pottstown. The first day I was scheduled in Pottstown, I actually live in Pottstown, it's a really like a mile, 1.1 miles round trip to work. It's a beautiful thing. The insurance company didn't know if I was lying or not. I had to kind of prove to them that I only drive 1.1 miles a day, and then to church once a week, and then I'm not doing all these miles that you think I'm doing. And so we worked all that out, and we used the other car for driving around. But anyway, so I transferred. But the first day, you know, you get up in the morning, you're in your routine. I'm like halfway to Harleysville before I realize I work in Pottstown. You know, and that's kind of how it is. We're transferred from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. And sometimes we set out and we're like, oh, wait a second. We're not part of that kingdom anymore. A good example of this, you guys that are married know this. And if you're not married, you watch sitcoms. So what happens is a husband goes into his bedroom or whatever. He puts some clothes on because the husband and wife are going somewhere. And the wife will ask this question. And it's not a question, it's a statement, but it comes out in a question, and it's this. It's, is that what you're going to wear? And what it means is, that is not what you're going to wear. Go try again. And I feel like with the Lord, as we're journeying through life, if we actually give him permission, we might get a like, yo, is that how you should be behaving right now? Is that what you're going to wear? Is that what is going to be your response to the situation? And so just keep that in mind. It's a funny illustration, but it's true. I mean, how many husbands have been saved looking kind of foolish? And how many times we could be saved of costing ourselves things like relationships or things that we're moving towards if we allow the Lord to keep us in check by asking us that question. So we talked about how we transferred and how that's a work in progress. And we talked about, Jesus gave this parable, the parable of the yeast. And in Matthew 13:33, he said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, a woman used in making bread. Even though she had put a little yeast in three measures, it went throughout the whole thing. And the only reason we read that was to talk about how the yeast, a little bit, goes into everything. And then we talked about last week, the kingdom is an upside down, opposite kingdom. I'm just waiting for my notes to actually scroll down. All right, so the kingdom is an upside down, opposite kingdom. There's a kingdom of world, there's a kingdom of God. We need to have our minds renewed to think like the kingdom. The kingdom being opposite. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be first, you become last. You serve all. If you want to be great, you have to serve all. If you want to receive the kingdom, you have to become like a child. You love your enemies. You do good to those who hate you. If you want to see the kingdom, we need to have our mind renewed to think the opposite of the world. And so we talked about these mindsets that Jesus warned us about. And this was the thing I think was most pertinent last week, and I'd love for you guys just to take it away with you. And Jesus said in Mark 8:15, "Be careful," Jesus warned them, "watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." And the yeast of the Pharisees, we talked about this a lot last week. It's a religious mindset rooted in pride and arrogance. And it comes and it divides. It's us saying, if we don't agree 100% on everything, it gives us an excuse. Our religious mindset gives us an excuse to not operate in love, to not operate in relationship, but to say, we don't agree 100%, so now you're out, and I don't have to treat you like a brother or a sister. And that's not how we should operate. We should have open discussion. Now, there's key things that we should agree on. But there's things that we can interpret different, we can have differences, we can agree to walk together, and those things won't hurt us, because this is relationship. If I, you know, and we don't do this in our families, if I agreed with my wife on everything, it wouldn't be beneficial to us. She wouldn't feel alive if she agreed with me on everything. She wouldn't have an opinion, and it's important that her opinion is part of what we do, and that's kind of how it is with the church. We're not going to agree 100%. We don't break relationship. We talk about it. We don't go find another church where we agree with them 100% because it doesn't exist. You know, we stay where we're at. We're in relationship. We ask the Lord where to be. And so we talked about a religious mindset in Mark chapter 9. Jesus healed a man born blind. The Pharisees went out of control because they were angry. They were so enraged. They cast the man out because they knew what Moses taught. And they felt like they had completely arrived at what they needed. And they weren't willing to take in what God was doing in the moment. And I feel like we're going to talk about this a little later. But for us, it's a real temptation as a Christian to feel like, hey, I've prayed the prayer. I've arrived. I've read the book. I read it. I know what it says. Here I am. There's no more growing for me to do. There's no more refining for me. And this is how the religious mindset works. I already know, I've already been, you know, and it just causes division. And so we also talked about the yeast of Herod, and that's the one very pertinent in our culture today. It's the mindset that's driving politics right now. Politics is driven by fear, shame, and manipulation. A political mindset wants to divide. It's not interested in unity. The way I get elected is I separate you, and I motivate you with fear. So you feel like I'm the only hope for the future of the nation. I paint a picture that the other people are going to destroy the nation if you let them by not voting for me. This is how politics is run in this season. And, you know, we talked about this. We're going to reiterate it. We want the person in position that's going to follow what the Lord says the most. So we should get out there and vote. We should want them to win. But should they not be voted in, the Lord's plan is going to carry through, and it's not going to be able to destroy my future. A political person can't destroy what the Lord wants to do in my life. And we noticed and we highlighted that a political mindset, especially in this season, wants to divide. What we do with a political mindset is we say, you were in group A with me if you agree with me 100%. If you don't tell me what your views are, I just assign you a group. I don't care. I think, well, you have a nice car and you do this and you do that, you must be in this group. Or you value this, you value that, you must be in this group. And so, but what a political mindset says is, you're in group A with me and you agree with me 100%, or you're in group B, which is not like me. And if you won't say I assign you a group, and a political mindset wants to divide, agree completely with me or I'll push you away. So if you don't agree 100% and I put you in group B, then there's this mindset where I no longer have to be civil to you. And if you're on social media still, if you're holding out there, God bless you. We've shut ours down right now. We're just taking a break, because what happens is, you can't give another opinion. If you give another opinion, you're accosted and assaulted. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would say, fair to say, everybody in this room is certainly in agreement on a lot of things. Don't be scared of my political affiliate. Don't put me in group B. I'm your brother and sister. I'm your brother, not your sister. but don't let a spirit of fear, a mindset that wants to divide us, come between us, you know, as a church body. And so the challenge, I said, is we're not part of a religious kingdom. We're not part of a political kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. If we're going to make a difference in our nation, be the church that God has called us to be, if we're going to be the person God made us to be, then we need to be kingdom people. Have a kingdom mindset. Be on guard, like Jesus said, about a political mindset and a religious mindset. And let the yeast of the kingdom actually permeate us and change the world around us. And I said this, and this is a bold statement, and you guys, the people that were here, found agreement in it. As a kingdom person, we can grieve with people that are grieving. We can stand and address an issue of unrighteousness and injustice. And simultaneously, we can give honor to those who deserve honor. Mm-hmm. There's no conflict there. We're not part of a political game. We're part of another kingdom. We can say that all lives matter, and we can say that there's many, many police officers that have given up a lot of their life and risk their life every day to protect people. Mm-hmm. And those two things can coexist. They're not separate. They don't change how I'm going to relate to you. And so, you know, we're part of another kingdom. And today I want to talk to you about how we're under construction. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to talk about, but and I know those of you that are around my age and around my age would know, it used to be with websites that you would go to one, and every once in a while you get this nice page that said, under construction. And we all accepted that website is not there because they're repairing it. No problem. Today you get this email from your bank, like between 12:30 in the morning and 12:32, you won't be able to online bank because people don't accept under construction anymore. But it's interesting to think about that we're under construction. This church is under construction. This room, if you go back and look at that video, there was a giant column over here. There was some things, and I can't remember the proper way, but they were ugly.
Balances.
Thank you, balances. And there was the only conflict we had with the landlord was such a beautiful thing because they had paid a lot of money for the balances, and they felt like the balances were valuable. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in 1982 they were amazing. you know, and they hadn't become classic yet. They'll be back at some point. Everyone will think they're awesome again. But you know, there was a little bit of construction that happened here, and this church is under construction. We're actually back looking at our foundations as Rock Community Church, realizing what is important to us, repairing anything that needs repaired, and we're going to relaunch off of a repaired foundation, do some rebuilding. And so, but we're under construction, and as individuals, we're under construction. The verse I want to read, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians 4 today. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed, remember that word, to this world,
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I have a couple definitions. I looked up some Greek words. It's not as amazing as it sounds. There's a website called blueletterbible.com. You put in the verse, it comes up, you click the word, it takes you to Strong's, it tells you the Greek, it tells you how it's used, it tells you how it's defined. I would recommend that any verse that you're like, I want to understand this better, I don't know why this word is here, blueletterbible.com, click, click, click.
What's it called again?
Blueletterbible.com. The words are blue that you can click on. You know, words like to and they're black. It's black and blue. It's amazing. But it's such an easy thing to go a little deeper with things that you don't understand. So the word conform in Strong's is to conform oneself, one's mind and character, to another's pattern. And so the verse said, do not be conformed to the world. And I don't know if you realize it, but there's a pressure, especially right now, to conform. We're getting a solid message that we should be and act and behave and think a certain way. And if we don't, we're wretched and horrible. And it's coming from both sides. You know, so whose kingdom are we part of? We need to get with God, not be conformed to the systems of this world, but be transformed. Transformed, if you click it in blueletterbible.com, the Greek word, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. You can push a button and a guy will say it to you. But it's metamorpho, which is where we get our word metamorphosis, which is the term we apply to, like, when a butterfly, a caterpillar spins a cocoon and turns into a butterfly. A totally different thing comes out. And so to transform is to make a thorough or dramatic change in form, appearance, or character, to undergo transformation. Metamorphosis, a change of the former nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. That's in the dictionary. Supernatural. I love dictionary. So anyway, things you never thought you'd say. But so we're supposed to not conform, but we're supposed to transform. We're supposed to take on the character of something or someone else. And who is that someone?
Jesus.
And so when we were transferred, we started off on this journey of metamorphosis to be more like Jesus. And, you know, it seems to me, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but it's like some folks feel like they're done. I've done all I can do. This is as good as it's going to get on this side of heaven. And, you know, sometimes, maybe. But other times, maybe there is a little something else we could do day by day. Remember we talked about my 40,000 some odd step record and how that goes one step at a time. And this is how this transformation works. It'd be awesome sauce if when we moved into this building, the different places that were painted, the things that happened, I would just raise my hand and say, in the name of Jesus, column go. Whatever balance is, be in style. Because, you know, it'd be awesome. And that's not the way it works when you're restoring a place. Now, that said, I heard an awesome testimony of an angel cleaning a bathroom for somebody. Praise Jesus. Not going to give it to you now. It was in a book I read. And so I'm not opposed to the angels moving the pillar for me. But most of the time, I'm going to move the pillar. And so the world around you, people's opinions, the media, the politics, the pandemic, should not be changing what God is doing on the inside of you. What is going on inside of you, the kingdom of God, should be forming your mindsets, building your life, and affecting the world around you. So what is going on inside of us? We're under construction. We're in process. And that's okay. We're not complete. We're not final. Now, your salvation is complete. Your relationship with God is secure. But you as a person, me as a person, we're under construction. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. That is why we never give up. So in context, he's talking about how everybody's trying to kill him. He's getting arrested. He's getting beaten. All this hardship's happening. And then he says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. So inside, renewed every day. In the Passion Translation, same verse. So no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is being renewed every single day. If we take the standpoint that we are completed, we don't work on that renewing every day. That little bit at a time, that one or two steps every day to as we're under construction. Now, we all love something renewed, restored, renovated, rebuilt, or relocated. We love it. There's TV shows about it. You know, there's crews coming in, changing houses. I watched a show with Kat. We watched it actually last night. They steal somebody's project car from them because they haven't worked on it in 10 years. They take it away. They make up some crazy story where someone vandalized their garage. The person flies in, opens their door, and sees their restored car. We love this stuff. You know, and houses, you know, there's someone in here that flips houses better than me, but I've done it. It was kind of the trendy thing in my 20s. Everybody was doing it. And then the market dropped and whatever. So, but there's some challenges that are associated with restoring houses, and we can parallel that a little bit to restoring ourselves or being renewed. And one of the challenges, we don't think it can be done. We go into a space or we look at our life and we don't think it can change. You know, and we don't say that out loud because we like to say things like, God can do anything. But when it comes to us, it's hard to look at ourselves and see what the Lord can do. The other thing is, when you're renovating a house, it always costs more than you think it will. Mm-hmm. Always. Always, 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 always. Actually, more favor. It's going to cost you less. It always costs more than we think. I'll have to undo those words later. It always costs more than we think it does. It costs a lot. It always takes longer than you think. I can share this today. Because I'm going to share this. So, in like November, there were some things that needed to be done at the old building, and every guy I talked to that could have done it was like, well, I'm helping somebody out with their renovation project. And I was like, okay, cool, you're busy, you're doing that. Well, I have heard the same renovation project until last month. It always takes longer than you think it's going to take when you start a renovation. You know, circumstances are never ideal. It's never a good time to rip out your bathroom. You're always going to need a bathroom soon after you rip your bathroom out. It's never a good time to rip out your kitchen. And then the other thing is, we don't think we need to. This is good enough. That toilet flushes. That kitchen's okay. Throw some paint on some parts. You know, and when we talk about us in our journey with the Lord, you know, we have this mindset of what I'm doing is good enough. I compare myself. The Bible says, I'll look up the verse another time if you want it. The Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are stupid. You can always find somebody doing worse than you. And that's what we tend to do. We're like, whoa, you know, I'm doing this, and that guy over there, look at him, I'm good. You know, but the church as a whole, not just us, has done a great job emphasizing some good points that have added some confusion to us being under construction. You guys ready for my points? We tell people, and it's true, we tell people, come to Jesus just as you are. And you should. You should come to Jesus just as you are. We tell people, if you screw up, go right back to Jesus and he forgives you. And that's also true. And you should. And we tell people, if you wrong me, I will forgive you. Also true. And we should. And there's like a bazillion verses that say we have to. So get over that now. Start forgiving people. Sorry. Anyway, so all of those are great and actually true. But the hiccup is, we've let those concepts give us a false idea that we don't need to be renewed. Because I can come to Jesus with my mess, and he works in my mess. That's great. But how much more can I come to Jesus and say, hey, I don't want to be in this mess anymore. Let's change the mess. How about I stop going back to that sin? How about I start actually like following what the Bible says? You know, and so we give people a concept of come to Jesus just as you are, but I want to ask you a question, and I can ask this. I don't know if there's a bootleg going. What if that person is acting nuts? It's okay. Stay how you are. You know, what if that person is like their income is an illegal activity? Like, we're so glad you got saved. You keep dealing drugs on the corner. Don't deal them in the church. Jesus will take you just as you are. You know, so there has to be at some point where we say, we're under construction, every day we're doing a little bit with the Lord, and we're working towards and end product, and we can grow on the earth. So it's, you know, just to open this up for you guys a little more, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I'm going to read the whole chapter in a minute, but just to highlight, as we change kingdoms, the need for us to renovate and be renewed, Ephesians chapter 4, 17, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles, the world does, in the futility of their thinking. So it's like, as you come into the kingdom, actually the way you live and the way you approach the world changes. And so we are under construction. Next week, I'm going to give you some kind of practical. This week, we're just highlighting the need to be under construction. So Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read the whole thing. So just hang with me. I know it's a lot, but it's good. So Ephesians chapter 4, the title is Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. And when you read that, I mean, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be mature? One of the greatest insults you can give someone, especially a 10-year-old in your house, is that they're acting immature. You know, I learned from another parent that goes to our church, are you a little baby? Are you a little girl? Why are you screaming like a little girl? And it works really good on my sons. And so, because they want to be mature. And so, starting Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Hey, as I read this, silently, mentally to yourself, you know, highlight where you might need a little construction in your life. No big deal. You know, just you and God. You know, you can turn in a paper to me later and I will help you. Yeah. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave us apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Just take a quick break here. It doesn't say until you get to heaven and you're perfect. It says, equip his people for the works of service so that the body may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Verse 17, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge it in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Jesus and were taught him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully with your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God, Christ forgave you. And so the reason I read all that, I mean, I'm opening up a whole new can as I'm closing, and we're going to get into it a little bit next week. If you guys take a little time and peruse Ephesians chapter 4 over the week, that would be awesome. But the reason I'm just opening up that right now is to give you permission to look at your life, that we all take the time to look at our own lives and say, where am I engaging in behaviors that are costing me? You know, it's really important that we look at what we're doing. We've all got bad habits. We've all got things that are happening. And how can I recreate those? So one day at a time, I'm working on myself, and my interior renovation is becoming complete. You know, give the Holy Spirit time to speak to you. And I wanted to remind you, you know, perseverance is one step at a time. You know, and the thing that I want to challenge you with as I close is this. A lot of times with renovations, we can't see beyond what is what we currently have. And we can't realize what we're giving up will be better, won't be as good as what we receive. You know, the day-by-day renewal process is worth the outcome. We looked at, well, I'll give you one quick example as we close. Many of you guys know about this. Tiffany had renovated a house, and it was a dump. You've all seen before and after pictures. And now, you know, people are vacationing there. But in order to do that, you have to see past what is. And a lot of times with our life, it's like you look at what's going on in your life, and we're just like, you know what? It's fine. But the reality is, if we give up the fine, we can have the best. Mm-hmm. You guys good? Mm-hmm. All right. I want to challenge you and encourage you, not devastate you. So let me pray. So Father, we thank you that you're able to move in our lives and in our hearts, that you're renewing us day by day. We want to be a people that engage with you, invite you into our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would begin to move among us even more. We thank you for what you've done to bring us to this point. We thank you that our future is bright no matter what the media is reporting. And we just thank you, Lord, and believe and agree that you're able to do more than we can ask or imagine as we together as a body and as we're individuals. And we just ask for your favor as we go forth from this place, that you would bring about your will in each life, that doors would swing wide open, and we would have opportunities to expand even more. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so, again, thanks for coming out. We want to invite you guys to have some coffee, hang out. If you want prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you.